Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Mine to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah, and we find our way to the book of Isaiah and chapter number 45. The book of Isaiah and chapter number 45. We're in a section of the book of Isaiah where God has been laying a foundation to prepare to explain a big prophecy that he revealed earlier in chapter number 45. Then in the last several chapters, God has made a big deal that he is a God who just doesn't just see the future, but because he's omnipresent, he is in the future. He has no future. He has no past. He is ever present. And so he is in the future, and from our eyes, present tense, and is able to go back and say, let me tell you what I'm seeing currently. Let me show you what's going on. Then with this, he established, in this morning, we saw the principles of the treasures of darkness. This principle states that the worst things that happen to us can turn to be the greatest things that happen to us if it draws us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And with this principle, we know that darkness is a time where we don't know what's going on, where we don't know which way to go, when we are in a place of our lowest point. But God is able to see the future and direct it and place these things in our path to direct us to him, especially if we respond well to him. So as God is laying this down in the prophecy is the idea that the Israelites in the future, from Isaiah's point of view, it's now our history, that they are going to be destroyed. The temple's going to be destroyed. Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. The people are going to be put captive. But God is going to use a heathen king from a foreign land to bring the Hebrew people back into the land to rebuild the temple, to rebuild Jerusalem, and that God had a purpose for it, that even though the Hebrew people may not understand that purpose, God had a purpose, and it's going to be carried out. Now, with the tail end of this prophecy being stated, God now reveals one of his names with an overview of him and what he is doing in the darkness. Again, some people will try to claim, God, are you a good God? Is God a just God by allowing bad things to happen to me? And that's a question. In fact, in the context we saw this morning, there are two ways to ask that question. One is one out of strife and rebellion. How dare you, God, do this to me? And then the proper response, God, I trust that you know what you're doing. Can you tell me what you're doing and what I need to change and how you're trying to fix my life? With that being stated, that God is a God who knows everything, and he allows the darkness to hit us for a purpose so he could give us these treasures in darkness and turn our path and bring us close to him, he caps this off with one of his names. Notice with me in the book of Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, and notice with me in verse number 20. Isaiah 45 and verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together that ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, I have righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that is incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. And if you have the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a special name of God that we find here in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 45. Isaiah 45 and verse 21, notice the name of God that is declared here, a just God. A just God. And the Hebrew word of this is El Tzedek. If you like spelling those type of things, it's E-L, which means God. And then the second word, Tzedek, T-S-A-D-D-I-K. Once again, T-S-A-D-D-I-K. El Tzedek, which means a just God. T-S-A-D-D-I-K. El Tzedek. A just God. And with the Lord's help, let's preach from this passage in the context as God has revealed his name, a just God. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you, we're just asking that you just give us great mercy and great understanding. Help us to be able to tie this passage together and be able to look at your name and how you've chosen to reveal yourself to us. Lord, thank you for the great privilege to be in your house tonight. Fill me with your spirit that you can declare your own word, your own name, your own character. Reveal who you are to us so we can have a better understanding of you. Please just honor your own name through your precious word. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout this year, one of our side studies and specialty studies is the names of God. And with it, we know that names are very important, especially God's names as they're revealed. That each of God's name reveals something special and unique about a characteristic or an attribute of who God is. The same thing with the name, a just God. It reveals something special and unique about the God that we know. That the name here is emphasizing God's perfect justice and righteousness. God's perfect justice and righteousness. The Hebrew word tzedek means to convey the idea of being morally right, to be perfectly fair with and entirely righteous in all judgments. So basically, the core name is that he is just in all judgments. He is perfectly fair. He is morally right. When you combine that with the El, which means God, together the El Tzedek just declares that God does not simply act justly. He is justice himself. His very nature is the standard of righteousness. That God could be nothing but just. God is the declaration, the standard of justice. This name reminds us that God is perfectly just in his dealings with humanity. Now, this ties in to this idea of the treasures in darkness. Why would God allow these things to happen to me? Why would God allow bad things to happen to me? Why would God allow things that I don't understand? Well, God has declared with that he is a just God. Everything he does is correct, just, and righteous. That means God is good when he allows you to have a flat tire. God is good when he allows rainy days. God is still good when you have health problems. God is still good when something happens at work. God is perfectly just. God is not a mean, evil God who wakes up and says, you know, I haven't picked on someone in a while. Let me go ahead and find someone. God does not do things because he feels like he has to pick on someone. Everything he does is right. Everything that he does is good. Everything he does is just. That means the things that come to your life, if you believe that there's a just God, that even though it may be inconvenient to us, God has a purpose for it. That's why Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose." We could look at that verse and trust it. We know all things work together for good. Why? Because we have a just God. That verse doesn't say all things are good. It means that God is still good even when bad things are happening to us. We have a just God. With this just God, his very nature is justice. He's a God that cannot be corrupted. It's a God who cannot make mistakes. A God who doesn't make judgments based off of faulty information. Because he knows everything, because he sees the end from the beginning, he knows exactly what needs to happen for me to be at the place where he wants me to be. He is just and he is right. He cannot act unfairly. He cannot act unjustly because his very nature is just. And yet, his very nature doesn't make him a strict God of judgment. His justice is perfectly balanced with mercy. In fact, the name of God that's revealed here in verse 21, there's no God beside me, a just God and a Savior. His justice has full justice with mercy. God is a merciful God. Justice and salvation reveals a God who is both holy and compassionate. A God who judges, but also saves sinners. So with this idea of this just God, that he's just not a mean, terrible God that has a high standard of rule, aha, you can't meet it, and so slaps us down. But we have a God who is holy and has a high rule of justice, but understands our nature and has made a way of escape. So we could still fellowship with this holy God. If you don't mind, let's dive into this passage and let's learn more about this just God. First of all, I want to show you that a just God knows the future. A just God knows the future. Now, throughout this last several chapters, God has really made a big deal that he knows the future. He knows the end from the beginning. There is nothing that is hidden from God. He sees it all. He's not just seeing the future, but he's also ever present in every point of time. And so God knows everything. And because he knows everything, he can put things correctly in our path to bring us from this place to that place. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come. By the way, I want you to notice that invitation over and over throughout this passage in these six verses where God says, come. Over and over, God has given an invitation, which is both a command and an invitation. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. God is our only way for mercy. But he is also the only one who can provide that mercy because he's just. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Notice again. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Now remember, as God has set up the principle of the treasures in darkness, when we're in darkness, when we're in a place of no understanding, when we're at the bottom of the barrel, when we're at the place where it seems like everything's falling apart, we need a God who can save. That idol that has been spoken of time and time again within these last several chapters that the guy built out with his own hands and set there, it will do you no good when that idol cannot hear you, he cannot see you, and he cannot save you. When the times come of darkness in our life, when we're at the place of unknown, we're at the place where we don't know how it's going to work out, we need a real Savior. We don't need something that's just going to make us feel better until we pass through. We need a God who can actually deliver. And God's inviting us and saying, come unto me. Come unto me, not to the false God, not to the one who can't hear, not to the idol that's just sitting there on your stand. Come unto me, a just God, a real God. Notice as it goes on in verse number 21. Tell ye and bring them near together. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who had declared this from the ancient time? Who had told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Once again, God is saying, I am true. And how do you know I'm true? Because I've given prediction and it's come to pass. And then I gave another prediction and it came to pass. Then I gave another prediction and it came to pass. And again, these aren't loose predictions. These aren't vague predictions, but very specific predictions to show that there's a God who can actually see the future, who can see the end from the beginning. Why wouldn't we want to trust the God who sees it all? Why wouldn't we want to trust a God who knows how it's going to turn out? I don't want to trust someone who's guessing. I don't want someone who's trying to just tell me something to make me feel better. I want the God who in my darkest time can direct me to the right path so it works together for good. That's the God I want. And that's the God we have. We have a just God because he sees all the future. God cannot be surprised. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? God cannot be surprised. God doesn't say, wow, man, I didn't see that coming. We sometimes can try to make our best guess, but we are surprised all the time. We weren't expecting things to happen in our life. We weren't expecting 2020. We weren't expecting this or that or the other. None of us said, you know what? I feel today that I'm going to break my leg. I just know it's going to happen. We're always surprised when it happens. We didn't see it coming. None of us planned for an accident. You know what? I know today someone's going to just broadside me. I'm just going to be driving. They're not going to be paying attention. And wham! I just know it's going to. If I knew that, I'd stay in bed. We don't know what is going to happen. We're very limited. But God sees it all. The good and the bad. He's not limited. And we could trust a just God that what he says is true. What he says is right. If he says, go over here, and I go over here and something bad happens to me, it's not because God's a bad God. It's because he said, I wanted you here for this to happen so I could bring you over there. Our God is just. Again, we in our human things will sometimes get frustrated. I heard about a young lady who was convinced God was going to do something. God's going to do something. And then when it looked like it wasn't going to work, why God? Why didn't it work out? How come I thought this was what was supposed to happen? And all of a sudden she's struggling with her faith in God. It's because she's not seeing a just God. Is God just to lead us in darkness? Yes. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? He leadeth me. He leadeth me. If God led me to bad times, I could trust he's going to lead me out. When Jesus Christ put the disciples in the boat and started going, and a storm happened, and they're afraid, these are experienced sailors, who says, we're going to die, we're going to die. Did Jesus know that they were going to run into the storm? Yeah. And he told him to go out there anyways? Yes. He knew it was going to happen and said, I want you out there in the storm. That is the God's good and perfect will for your life, is to be in that storm. You see, we look at things as human. And we think sometimes that if I go and follow God and bad things happen to me, God must have led me astray, or I didn't know what God was telling me. Could it be that God knew exactly where he was putting you, so that way he could lead you out the way that he wanted to? We have a just God who's able to lead us in the darkness and bring us to the treasures of darkness. In fact, back earlier where we read it before, in verse number 3, and I will give thee treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Why? That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. God says, I'm going to lead you into darkness. I am purposely putting you in darkness, so that way you can see I know what I'm doing. And you could call me by name, that I am God. When the disciples saw Jesus, woke him up, said, Master, careth not that we perish? Jesus went up and commanded the seas be still. And the wind and waves obeyed. And they went, wow. That's my God. And they were afraid of God. Why? Because he proved himself to be real in the dark times, in the times they were convinced they were going to die, so God could prove to them he was a God. God is not just good in the light. God is good at all times, even in the darkness. And we can trust his leading because he knows what he's doing. And he knows where we're going and how we're getting out. We can trust him. Why? Why can we trust a just God? Because he knows all of the history. He sees the entire future. He understands all of time. We have a great God. With this, we also understand another principle about our just God. A just God is God over all. A just God is a God over all. Notice with me in verse number 22. Look unto me and be ye saved. Notice the address. All the ends of the earth. God didn't say, look unto me and be ye saved, Israel. He didn't say, look unto me and be ye saved, Christians. He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Why? For I am God and there is none else. You know who the God of deepest, darkest Africa is? Still God. You know who the God of the Muslim world is? Still God. You know who the God of the atheist is? Still God. Why? Why could God declare himself to be a God of people who don't trust him or believe him? Notice verse number 23. I have sworn by myself, and the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, meaning God said this in righteousness. He's not wrong. He's not mistaken. And shall not return, God's not going to take it back, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. We see that later on in Psalm, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, that's a true statement. One day, everyone will declare Jesus as Lord. You're like, well, what about the atheist who died? Well, he's going to stand before God at the white throne judgment and he's going to say he's God and receive his sentence. It doesn't say that just because God is God over the universe that everyone's going to be saved, but everyone will declare and bow and respect and recognize he is God. There's an old book that went out that said, in response to atheists who said, I don't believe in God, it's a book that says, well, God believes in atheist. They could reject God all they want, but God knows them all, and one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because he's a just God. He is not just God over a small group of remnant people. He is not a tribal God. Remember that the whole principle we gave before, the treasures of darkness, is God is going to use a heathen king from a foreign land to get his work accomplished. And God is going to call him my servant and my shepherd. Even though Cyrus the Great never came to know the Lord, he was not a Jew or a Christian. In fact, by his own testimony, he's in hell. But God is God over all, that he could use people and put and use them in our life. You know what that means? I know this is going to be very hard to believe, that God could use the President of the United States, no matter who it is, to guide your life. God can use the governor of the state you're in, whether you voted for him or not, to direct you. Because God can use human instrumentality, even if they're not saved Christian believers, to still direct in our life. Hey, kids, I know you may not have a hard time believing this, but your teacher can be used of God to direct your path. God knows what he's doing. And he doesn't just stuck saying, oh, the only people I could use is Christians and I'm running out of this. How am I going to change the world? God's not limited. He's able to move the pieces in. That's why we don't freak out when a president gets elected that we didn't quite agree with. We're saying we could trust God, but bad things are going to happen. That's the whole principle. Do you know that God allowed bad things to happen in Israel in order to bring them back to the place? You know where Christians, and just talking about politics, you know where Christians are the most dedicated to God is when they have someone that they don't like in office. When they get the person they want it in office, they suddenly relax. Oh, look at what God's done. Now we don't have to trust him. We're just ride it out. It becomes a dangerous time. God allows these things to occur. Was God good to allow Saul to be king of Israel? Yes, he was. Did it feel like that to David? Not at times. But did God use that darkness in David's time to bring him to be the person he should be? Yes. The treasures in darkness. We find this principle all throughout. Was God good to allow Joseph to sit in prison in Egypt? Yes, he was. In fact, Joseph had that same principle when his brothers came to him after their father died. And they said, oh no, Joseph's going to just been waiting for dad to die. He's going to cook us for sure. And Joseph said, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You know what he just said? God was good to allow you guys to sell me into slavery. You know, that's a lot of faith in a just God to be able to declare that God was good to sell you into slavery. We complain just because someone didn't answer our text. And Joseph said, God was good to allow me to be sold into slavery. My own flesh and blood to sell me into slavery. God was good and God was right. God was good to allow Potiphar's wife to lie against me and my trusted employer to trust the word of his wife rather than me, his trusted steward, and put me in jail and it seemingly forget about me. God was still good. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. How could he say that? Because he had a just God, who is the ruler of all the universe. Who was the one that sent the famine into all of the Middle East during Joseph's time and send a warning to Pharaoh who was not saved? God was. God's behind it all. God allowed a Pharaoh who thought he was God to receive an image and say, I don't know what to do with this. And bring Joseph out of prison to stand before him and say, let me tell you what God did. God was good. God was good to allow Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the world, to have a bad dream and then forget about it, but feel like the dream was important, and have Daniel come up and say, "Let me tell you, O king." He says, "My God." In fact, Daniel specifically said, "I can't tell you what the dream is, but my God can. And this is what my God said. My God can use even foreign kings, because God is the king of the universe. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that God is God over all. No exceptions." That means we don't have to freak out and panic and the sky is falling because your pet law did not get passed, because your elected official did not get elected, because this occurred and this occurred. God is a just God. Now, I'm not talking about the idea of fatalism, which says whatsoever shall be, shall be. That's not what we're talking about. But we are acknowledging that God, because he loves me, is able to guide and direct me even through outside sources, because he is a good God. My response is important. I could respond, "Why, God, are you so mean to me?" Or, "God, what do you want me to learn from this, and how are you guiding me so I can follow after you?" Because he is a just God. One more thing I want to show you in this passage is that a just God brings salvation. A just God brings salvation. Once again, the idea of God being a righteous God is not that he is so strict that there is no mercy. He is a God full of mercy, full of grace. In fact, that is exactly how Jesus Christ is described in the gospel record of John chapter 1. That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then you know what it announces? That he is full of mercy and truth, grace and truth, grace and truth. You know what Jesus is? 100% truth and 100% grace. He is gracious and he is truth. Both of those things are needed. We understand that if we give truth without grace, we're just mean dictators. And if we have mercy with no truth, we have nothing to give to him. We have no content. It's just empty clouds. We must have the truth in order to have grace. Those things must be there. Do you know, in John chapter 1, it talks about Moses brought the law. But when it talks about Jesus, it said truth and mercy came. Why? The law is impersonal. But truth and mercy was robed in flesh. It was personal. It was warm. It was intimate. We have a great God. You know what Jesus was? He was the completer of the law. Without Christ, the law is cold. It's stone. It's merciless. That all of those laws require death. For the wages of sin is death. But when Jesus came, he completed the law by for allowing mercy. Notice the passage here in Isaiah. Isaiah 45, and notice with me 24. "Surely shall one say, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come." There's that invitation again. "And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed." We have two responses again. Do we say, "I trust God"? Or do we say, "God, why are you doing this to me?" Verse number 25. "In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." You know, over and over it talks about that God is a Savior in this passage. Verse number 21, where it talks about a just God and a Savior. The one thing about it, God, who is holy and full of justice, is that he must have the law completed. He cannot allow the law not to be completed. God looks at us and says, "You're guilty, and because you're guilty, you deserve death." But that same God removed his robes of a judge and came down and said, but I'll pay the payment for you. That's a just God. He's not erasing the payment. He has completed the payment. That's a just God, a merciful God. He says, you broke the law. You deserve death. Because I love you and I'm going to show you mercy, I will take that death in myself. Your response is to come to me. Accept the payment. Accept it and I will save you. I will deliver you from the penalty you owed. Mercy and grace. Truth and grace. What a wonderful God. That God is a just God and a Savior. Look unto me. The just God is the ruler of all the earth, but he is also a keeper of all the promises and the ultimate authority. Look unto me. What a great God that we have. We're thankful for it. So what's the principle here? What are we trying to get across? Well, once again, there are treasures of darkness. We cannot avoid bad things from happening. But when we see that there is a God who is a just God, we could trust him that he could lead me through the still waters. He could lead me through the fire. He could lead me through the flood. He could lead me through the valley. He could bring me to the mountaintop or bring me to the depths. Wherever he leads, I will follow because I trust him. He knows what he's doing. If he allows something in my life to occur, he's not a bad God. He is a good God. I have to look past the circumstances and see the God of the circumstances. I can see that is he that gives me the treasures in darkness. That in those dark times, there are treasures to be found. But you only find them if you're looking for them. If all you're doing is looking at the darkness and seeing how bad it is and how dark it is, you're going to miss those treasures that God has laid out for you to see, for you to have, for you to learn of me. We have a just God. Can you trust him? Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you today, we're just asking that you would give us great mercy and grace. Give us great understanding as we look at your passage and see what a great God that you have and how much you truly love us. That you've made salvation accessible for all. We know that there's spiritual salvation, but there's salvation from the darkness we come into, that you've always given us a path. You've always guided us. We can trust you. Without a doubt, there are people in here that we failed those darkness times. We didn't find the treasure. All we saw was the darkness, and we complained about it. We dared to say God wasn't good to me. Maybe not outright accuse him, but we pretty much implied it with the way that we said and the way that we acted and the way that we behaved. When God leads us through the darkness, God is still good and he is still right. He is a just God who knows what we need and he is able to lead us through the darkness and help us to find those treasures along the way, that the worst things that happen to us can turn into the greatest things that happen to us when it draws us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm asking that you would help encourage our faith, not just because of the goodness we see, but help us to grow closer to you because of the goodness when we cannot see it. Lord, draw us close to you even now. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific
specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.